to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Welcome, 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 everyone. Good morning to ya. Happy day after the Grammys.
Yeah, I'm tired.
All that presenting that you did last night,
boy,
Benny.
It's a lot of work.
I know.
I would be honored to do that.
Oh, that's right.
I think that would be a kick in the pants.
Any surprises for you?
Well, I do have my little cheat sheets here. I was actually thoroughly impressed with the new, best new artist of the year, which was John Legend. Great artist and awesome album. I'm definitely going to go out and get it.
Okay, good.
They were doing
Bring
that.
It in. We'll play it next week.
I will, definitely. Record of the Year went to, Green Day. We've got Album of the Year went to U2, which was kind of want
Pop Rock Album of the Year?
Just Album of the Year is what it was listed, and I was kind of wanting Kanye West to win that one.
Were you?
Yeah.
I don't know. The U2 thing is like...
it's big right now.
He's in the vibration.
Absolutely.
He is in the light.
Absolutely.
Bono is in the light.
Okay,
he is definitely raising everyone to a different vibration.
Right.
His work with One, the fight against hunger and poverty.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're not like talking about just, musicians anymore. We're really looking at, yes, their music. But we're really looking at what is their contribution to a shift in the vibration, something we're going to talk about today on today's show. And, Barack Obama?
No.
Senator?
No.
Illinois?
Okay.
Grammy?
Now I do.
Grammy?
Really?
Got the Grammy.
For which category?
Joins the politicians, Hillary Clinton.
Are you serious?
Yep.
There is a political category, isn't there?
There is a...
Didn't even look at that.
Well, he has a readings that he
Wait,
did.
Is that under comedy? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Polka?
No, it's actually a reading that he did on Dreaming. Dreaming and
really?
Fabulous. Yeah, just wonderful.
Huh. I'll have to look that up.
There you go. We're talking about changing the vibration. We're talking about, living through the light. Boy, I just made that up right there. Living through the light. Living as the light. And we have a very special series, and I know that you know it because I've received emails from you already asking me when today's show was going to be archived, and it will be archived tomorrow because some of you are traveling. I think one of you had a meeting that you almost canceled so you can listen to today's show, but I did promise that we will have the show up.
Say thank you, Pat.
Thank you, Pat. But, I had the honor to be in the presence. And I'm not going to do a good job explaining what this is like because I think it's sometimes hard for me, at least, to explain in common language, in words, what it's like to be in the presence of someone that is enlightened. I mean, it's really hard for me to explain that. I don't really know that I have words to explain that. But I have to tell you that the time that I spent with Swamiji, and we'll talk about this a little bit, Paramahamsa Nithyananda Swamiji, affectionately known and affectionately called Swamiji. The time that I spent last year when he was in the studio was magnificent. And he will be back in town in April. And we're going to be telling you all about that. As a matter of fact, he's going to be back in studio in April. And in sort of talking about his mission, his vision, the teachings that he brings, we've created a five-part series. And that I'm talking about has to do with an individual that I'm going to be introducing to you in a minute. But we've created a way for you all to participate in some powerful, powerful teaching. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at several discourses that Swamiji has done regarding the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita. And we're going to talk a little bit about about what that is. We're going to share with you some excerpts from his DVD. We're going to have an invitation for each and every one of you to participate in what is being said and tell you about his schedule, what he's going to be doing, and then some other ways for you to participate in the upcoming events. And so in doing that, many of you heard the show with Deepak. But the emails I received had to do with, who was that guy that you had on during the show?
Who was that masked man?
And how can we find out more about him? Here's your answer. He is with us today. I know him as Vinay, but we're going to be talking about his name. We're going to be talking about Swamiji's name, what it means. We're going to be talking about the teachings and the work that is done with the Nityananda Foundation. And his name is Vinay. And yes, he spent a good 45 minutes with us.
Definitely, yes.
Yes, you did, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I was surprised when I watched, listened to the tape. It was just fantastic.
Don't you think?
It was really...
Isn't it amazing that when you're here doing the show, right? Because I rarely listen to my shows, but I have some folks that are editing them. So they're there and they're listening. And you could see them. They're all laughing. But I rarely listen to the show.
Uh-huh.
But you listen to this.
Yes, yes.
What was that like to hear that? Did you believe that you actually said all those things?
that's the wonder of it, right? We say all these, like, really, sometimes it seems so complicated. And sometimes it comes out of just, as you said, the spontaneous wisdom.
Yes.
And did I say that? Man, that's the wonder of life, right?
That's the wonder of life. And I want to thank you. Thank you for being so kind and so patient with us during that show. In preparation of course, Deepak. But I have to say that the people that are listening to the hour, and the hour is on the website, the folks that are listening to it, want to send you a personal blessing.
Oh.
And thank you.
Oh, thank you.
For sharing your wisdom.
That's what we're here for, I guess, right?
Oh, well, that's what you're going to help us with. Sometimes we know that's what we're here for, and other times we don't. I want to talk a little bit about Swamiji, and I want to talk a little bit about you.
Okay.
Because you're going to be joining me in the series that we're going to be doing. We're going to tell you a little bit about them right now.
Yes.
But I would like to talk with you about your journey.
Uh-huh.
And what has brought you to this very moment?
Right. You know where to begin, right?
Let's begin with your name, because your name has meaning.
Sure, definitely.
Right? I'm going to try it.
Sure.
And I'm here with Vinay, as I know him to be, but I also know him as Sri Nityasata Jyoti.
Yes.
How close did I get?
Very. That's like, I'm very impressed.
Okay! Yappy! And I want to talk about the meaning. Now, each of us has, you know, I have a spiritual name from the Native American.
I'd like to know.
I have from the Native American tradition. I mean, I'm known as Night Owl, and that has to do with the story. But your name has special meaning.
It's like it's a Sanskrit wordings, right?
Yeah.
So Nitya means eternal. It's the same part as that of Nityananda. And Satya Jyoti. Satya means truth. And Jyoti means the light.
Mm.
So the putting it together, it means like, I'll be always the light to the truth. So I was very honored when Swamiji conferred this name to me. So it was really very, very precious.
What was that like?
I was at the end of the workshop that he conducts, a weekend workshop, which we'll talk later. And at the end of it, he usually confers the name to people. And based on their inclination and based on their spiritual path. It's absolutely fantastic.
And you have spent many hours with Swamiji.
Oh, yes. I mean, actually quite
Got back from India, didn't you?
And in the last 8 months, I've been around him. I've been really blessed to be around him quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've spent a month with him in Himalayas and about a month with him recently in India. It was definitely amazing.
Mm. I I had a brief experience, as you know.
Yes.
I spent some time with him before the show, during the show, and, of course, after the show.
Right.
And you know, people have asked me what that was like. I get asked that. I do. People ask me what it's like to talk to different people.
Right.
And most of the time, I don't remember what I've said, just like you didn't remember. But I have a sense of the experience.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
And there are times when there is this absolutely just magnificent peace.
Right.
And that was that hour.
Right.
That we spent together. And I wanted to ask you about that.
Uh-huh.
About his journey.
Uh-huh.
So that we can put the the series that we're doing in a context.
Right. He was born in South India, you know, just an average family in India. But I think what differed in him was right from childhood, he was born in a place which is a spiritual nerve of India. It's called Tiruvannamalai. Many people would know another enlightened master, I think 50, 60 years back, Ramana Maharshi. Lived there in that town. It's known for its spirituality. So right from that young age, he was attracted to those kind of elements around him. And also there are many still mystics living in that place. So he used to visit them in childhood, like live around them, you know, play with them in a way, though he didn't understand the magnanimity of who they are at that point in time. But I think what really was the supreme character in him was that quest to know the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And he narrates a simple story where he got his meditation, first meditation technique. And he was doing it for I think, 6 months or so. And then he had that first experience of what that really, that expansion of consciousness can be. And I think that was a deterministic event in his life. You know, when you have that experience of that possibility of what we can be, of what we can feel, what we can touch, what we can experience. I think that left a very strong experience, as you said.
Mm.
And then from then onwards, like nothing mattered except the attainment of that experience.
And right now, you all are bringing that experience all over the country, but more specifically right here to the Pacific Northwest.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. After that, you know, he did about 8 years. He traveled the length and breadth of India. He did research. As you know, it's just like a scientist, right?
Uh-huh.
Scientist does the research on external objects, which in a sense, like principles, are the laws of the world. He did research, extensive research on himself. And, you know, 8 years traveling with no money, just a two-piece cloth. Just research, you know, his main goal was to just research on himself and see what we're, you know, what we're really, what is the fundamental element that we're all made up of. And in 2000, as you said, he attained the state, what we can term as enlightened state.
Mm-hmm.
And, as you said, it's very difficult to put it in words as to what it is.
I can't.
We can experience it.
And we know.
Right.
We actually know that we're experiencing it.
Right. Exactly.
You know? And then we try to, you know, I've spent quite a bit of time in the Native American traditions. I mean, you know, in the high deserts on vision quests, being buried in the sand for 48 hours and, you know, things like that. And people will always ask me, what was that like?
Right.
And I think sometimes, I know I've done this, you know, I used to try to tell the truth about it. I used to try to, you know, tell people what it was about, and I didn't do a very good job. I really
didn't.
It's
so hard, right? Like, there was vibrations here, there was a current there. I mean,
right.
How can you explain, right?
Yeah, well, how can you explain that you spent 3 hours talking to what I call a fuzzy bee staring at you? I mean, you know... And so then I really decided to do two things. One, I realized that some people want to know about the deep experience, and that's what this show is about.
Right.
And other people just kind of want to know about the logistics.
Right.
Yeah. How many mosquito bites did you get? You know, what was it like being buried? You know, all of that. And today's show and the series that we're doing is at that other level. Right. We're going to attempt to bring the teachings in to the homes, the cars, the cell phones, however you're listening, the iPods, to many, many people. So let's introduce, before we take a break, let's introduce the series that we're planning for people.
Right. So as you said, the series is based on a very ancient scripture called Bhagavad Gita. It's at least 5,000 years old. It's given by the enlightened master Krishna to Arjuna, his friend and disciple, in the battlefield. And this battle is one of the most destructive battles in human history.
Yes.
And it's just this wonderful wisdom that came one-on-one from an enlightened master to his friend. And that's what we're going to be talking. And Swami has brought this ancient scripture into this wonderful, how do we apply that today, right? How do we use, what is our relevance to today's society? So he's wonderfully brought that. So we will be sharing that aspect in these five series show.
On the DVD, he spends some time explaining to the people in the audience why he picked this teaching.
Right.
There were other teachings that he could have picked.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so he explained why this one.
Right. I think we exactly touched upon that topic as to, we can only talk about the experiences but not really talk what happened, like how is that happening, right? So our words, our knowledge should be at best pointers.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot by themselves capture the experience, right? The ingredients of a cookie cannot describe the experience of eating the cookie.
Oh, right. Exactly.
So this scripture, as he beautifully says, encapsulates the three kinds of scriptures that are there in the spiritual world. One is the what is called shastras in Sanskrit. It's the intellectual knowledge, like the describing intellectually what is the spiritual path. What is the wisdom that we have to see? How can we know that there is something called, could we can call God, or there is something called cosmic, there is something called divine energy? So intellectually explaining that, that's called shastras. And then there's stotras in Sanskrit, which are called hymns or the songs, where you can feel a little bit, there's one step ahead, where you're tasting a little bit of that energy and of that emotions. It's like through the heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the one is intellectual, that's the mind, and then it's the heart, the emotions that you can feel while you're singing, while you're in unison, while singing the songs. And the next one is the sutras. That, I think, is not so commonly heard, right? Sutras, or you can say aphorisms, is the best translation.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you can say, are just nuggets. It's almost like poetry, like Rumi's, right?
Oh, okay.
Right, just precise statements which are not to be debated and intellectualized about, and not also completely like sung, but both. You can do both, but not neither.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of that interesting paradox. And those are called the sutras, which just clearly just state the truth in that poetic form. And we just absorb it.
Mm-hmm.
So those are called sutras, and the interesting aspect is that this scripture has all the three aspects to it.
I was really struck by this. I'm going to call it singing.
Right.
Singing, chanting. But as Swamiji is talking about the different lessons. And so I don't know that people know what the Bhagavad Gita means.
Right.
We should tell them.
Yes.
I was a little blown away.
Right, yeah. Bhagavat means the divine or the God.
Mm-hmm.
Gita means the song.
The song. The song of God.
It's like the song of God.
I don't know that there are many people that know that.
Right.
I mean, they know the short version, the Gita.
Right.
We're familiar with shortened terms.
The shortened terms.
Right.
And we are going to, over the next several times that we get together on air, we're going to take different aspects.
Right.
And talk about it. So today,
yes,
we are talking about
the seven primordial emotions, right?
The seven primordial emotions. And we're going to take a short break. When we come back, We're going to play a little bit, right?
Yes.
We're going to play a little bit when we come back from break. We're going to play a little bit, and so you'll be able to hear Swamiji talk about this. And then we're going to talk about each of those emotions and how they play out in our lives today, and how they were written about in the scriptures. So let's take a short break, Renee.
Sure.
I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. I'm here with Mr. Tired Grammy Watcher, Benny.
I am. Sorry, my arm was on the other side by the other computer. I was trying to stretch so I could play some music.
And we'll be back from this break, more with Swamiji, more with Bhagavad Gita, and more with Vinay.
Have them, traits in us that make us special, unique, characteristics that drive us. Some drive in third, some are in overdrive, some are in neutral, and others are in reverse. What makes us tick? Why do we do the things we do? Do we change the way we behave? Can we? How? Yes, you can. First, we have to embrace who you are, and then enhance that in which we see. The Inquiring Mind is your partner. Listen Fridays at 11 a.m. as Stephanie Durham, professional life coach, presents ACEs, Authenticity, Choices, Empowerment, and Success. Spanning 25 years of successful business tenure, in addition to over 4 years of training with Caroline Mace at the CMED Institute, Stephanie's authenticity and vast knowledge helps you objectively explore wise choices with her finely attuned facilitator skills, leading you to personal empowerment and ultimate success. If you want to smooth shift into the right gear, call us toll-free 1-866-461-6463. That's 1-866-461-6463.
Send a calendar to a soldier in Iraq. Susan McKeith created a drive-through Puget Sound Espresso Stands 2006 calendar. All of the proceeds are being donated to Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. You can also donate a coffee-flavored taste of home and send one to a soldier serving in Iraq so they can count down the days until they return home. To do this, call 1-800-578-3674. That's 1-800-578-3674.
How would you like to be part of a musical event celebrating the birth of a brand new radio show and an original idea? Finding Your Music is celebrating their beginning, bringing to you their first musical event. This event will bring to you the music of Ava, Dennis, Peter Frothingham, Bonnie Rose, and other musicians who grace our airways. Finding Your Music's concert is being hosted by Center for Spiritual Living Eastside in Bothell on March 4th at 7 p.m. Please visit the website findingyourmusic.com or contact Ava at 425-931-8777 for more information on tickets and guest musicians. Seating for this event is very limited, so please purchase tickets in advance for $15. Proceeds support the Center for Spiritual Living Eastside and the airtime we give to our artists. Call Ava at 425-931-8777 or go to the website findingyourmusic.com.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Are you tired of doing all the right things and ending up with the wrong love? Are there people in your world that you should but just don't respect? You're not alone. Over the Cliff Productions presents a groundbreaking approach to right relationship. Join Greg Hoskins and Michelle Morgan at East West Bookshop in Seattle on February 18th for a dynamic workshop to learn how to identify, cultivate, and use polarity as a power tool for finding and building extraordinary relationships. For information or to register, call 206-523-3726. That's 206-523-3726. Or visit their website at overthecliffproductions.com.
The Dr. Pat Show is offering you a chance to have an hour-long personal reading with Pepper Lewis and Gaia. To enter the drawing for this reading, simply purchase your ticket to one of Pepper's events, Everett on Saturday, March 25th, or Tacoma on Sunday, March 26th. Purchase your ticket before March 10th, and your name will be entered into the drawing to be drawn live on the show on March 16th. To purchase your event tickets or sign up for private readings, call 425-398-8011. That's 425-398-8011.
No other station brings you this much variety. Welcome to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Dr. Pat Show. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm here with, I refer to him as Vinay, but we're talking with Nitya Sarajoti.
Yes.
Pretty good, eh?
Yes.
And
practicing.
You know, it's about focus, isn't it? And, you know, we're also talking about Paramahansa Nityananda Swamiji, affectionately known as Swamiji. And we're talking about his teachings. And I want to just mention right now, because some of you have already asked, you have asked, when is Swamiji going to be in town? What is he going to be doing? And what are some of the programs or teachings or courses that are available? And, Vinay, I think that you can talk about the Life Bliss program a little bit, and then let's get into the discourse.
Yes. So it's a two-day intense meditation workshop. Actually, we're going to be covering, as we said, seven primordial emotions, right? So it'll be a great segue into the program at the end of the show. So it'll be almost a preview. So we have seven sessions in this Life Bliss program course, and it's corresponding to seven primordial emotions.
Mm.
So I think while we talk on the emotions, it'll be a good preview of the course itself.
And then there's also an upcoming event with Swamiji. I think we should mention that, because people plan ahead. So we want to make sure everyone marks this part of their calendar out.
Yes, it's the 29th and 30th of April. And it's, again, a two-day workshop. You know, Swami always says, you know, even if God comes to this country, he has to come on the weekend, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's a good point.
Because we've got so many things to do. I mean, it's just a funny joke, but
it's true. Though.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it's a very powerful weekend. We will also talk a little bit about that, I think, in our successive shows as well. But all of this information is on the website. It's seattle.lifeblissprogram.org.
That's seattle.lifeblissprogram.org. Okay, let's talk about, should we play the clip?
Sure.
Let's play the clip.
Man is centered on basic seven emotions. Basically, we work, live based on the seven emotions. First, greed. Next, fear. Third, worry. Fourth, attention need. Name and pain. The fifth, comparison and jealousy. The sixth, ego. Means thinking that your ideology is you. Standing for what you believe. Ego. The last, the seventh. Discontentment.
Okay, let's go over those and let's let everyone know what we're going to be talking about.
Right. So the first one is the greed, and then fear, then worry, then attention need, then comparison and jealousy, and discontentment.
Discontentment is the last?
Yes.
And the one before that's ego, right?
Yes, ego and discontentment.
Discontentment.
That's right.
Okay. We've covered it all. I'm trying to think, what did we... All right, let's start to talk about these and talk about how they relate to the Gita and how Swamiji talks about them.
Right. So, I think one of the common mistakes we do is, you know, we read a lot, right? We hear this information overload, right? There's information coming from all directions. And of course, even in spirituality, there's so much spiritual information. There's so much wisdom available. So we often shoot for the big things, like maybe past lives, or maybe, you know, parallel dimensions, or you know, you say consciousness and a God, like, you know, we talk about these big things, but often I think we forget the building blocks, which lead to those things. When our foundation, when our clarity is clear on the fundamental blocks that we're made up of, I think that itself will lead to the next level. But itself will lead to all those things that I previously said. But I think often we take it for granted that we know these things. Our basic constituents of our almost non-physical aspect, our non-physical side.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, these, in what we're talking about, these are considered sort of the basics, sort of the building blocks. And once we have an innate understanding of how we operate through these,
right,
then, you know, is that the key to the door? Is that the pot of gold?
Right.
All right.
Right, exactly, right.
All right, let's talk about greed a little bit.
Right.
Because we're talking about how the teaching, and these teachings, of course, we're talking about coming from the Bhagavad Gita, right?
Right.
And the Song of God, as it's known, and how these teachings relate to today.
Right. Right. Very true. So the aspect in Bhagavad Gita is how humans relate to the divine.
Mm-hmm.
With what aspect we relate to the divine. And it's because currently that's how we're relating to each other and ourselves.
Mm.
Right? That itself reflects on how we relate to the divine. Right? And I think there's a saying in the Bible, right? That God made man in his own mold, right? But I think the other way is also true. I think Swami says this, right? The man makes God in his own mold.
Mm. He does say that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the very basic emotion we operate in, for example, let's take greed, right? That's how we relate to the divine itself, if we are relating to the divine. Like, for example, you know, as a child, that's how I used to relate to the divine. You know, when I was a kid, right? Now, that's how my mom and dad used to say, you know, if you want good success in your life, you know, just pray to God. It's sort of a naive looking advice that we get from others usually, but it's actually centered on greed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's centered on personal benefits. It's centered on what I want to have.
For myself. Mm-hmm.
So that greed that we have in our lives, that emotion that we have in our life to grab more and more for ourselves, fundamentally reflects in us communicating to the divine as well, right? So that emotion, what is that emotion? So I think we can take a step back and then go into each of these.
Good.
Right? We often say, we distinguish these emotions, right? We say this is greed, this is fear, this is attention need, right? We segregate them intellectually. We can, but what is it behind it? So what is that emotion? So behind it, it is a sensation in the body, right?
Well, you know, absolutely. I mean, right. And I'm glad you bring this up because, you know, what we're talking about sounds like it's a mind thing.
Right.
But when we talk about emotions, it's really the firing point between the mind and the body.
Exactly, right?
Yeah, it is. I look at it like a spark plug. You know, there's a lot of things that goes in to making that plug spark.
Right.
And, you know, it's that place, that firing point right there where the two meet.
Exactly. As you said, the one that recognizes the spark is the mind, but where is the spark happening is in the body, right?
Right.
So that's exactly, that's a wonderful analogy.
So we know when we're in, you know, such need that we're in greed.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That when we're in such need,
right,
that the emotion is greed. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, for that folks can't want something.
Right.
the question is, you know, do you want for me?
Right. Is it an obsession, right?
That's, is it an obsession?
Right.
Where you can never have enough. You
right.
know, a billionaire
right.
who wants another billion to make a trillion,
right.
you know, so forth and so on, without really any, you know, diverse explanation of
right.
what's going to happen with that money except for one's own.
Right.
Right? Satisfaction,
exactly.
gratification.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's we always think about quantity, right? Even in terms of emotion, we associate quantity with it. Like, you know, beautiful wife, quantity, right? Bigger money, bigger house,
yeah.
bigger car.
Happy.
More
happiness. More happiness.
So it's the quantity, and we often forget that if we focus our attention on the quality, like what is that emotion? Am I really feeling that emotion? Am I really experiencing it? What is it? If we focus our attention on quality, the quantity just becomes redundant. Like it just feels like a bone, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's an often, it's a beautiful, it struck me like an arrow when I first heard this. It seems like the dog, right? It chews
mm-hmm.
on the bone, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, like the bone doesn't have any juice, right? But the dog chews on it, chews on it, chews on it, chews on it.
Yeah.
It's so addicted to it. But it forgets that its own mouth that is bleeding and its own blood it is tasting. So that's why it finds the bone juicy.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And we do forget, though.
Right.
You know, we really do forget. I mean, sometimes I think that, you know, we are so far into that which we want.
Right.
We even forget why we wanted it.
Right. Like the feeling of it. Like even if we have, you know, we got $10,000, but feeling that $10,000,
mm-hmm.
like feeling what are the possibilities I can realize with this financial income.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling, I guess, and that feeling going deep into that, that quality, I think is, I think it's something important we need to pay attention to.
You know, I think that for a lot of folks, if we talk about qualities and we invite people to get deep in into them, there are some of these that, you know, we sort of get a yay and amen to. But I'll tell you, you know, the next two that we mentioned, fear and worry.
Right.
I mean, I would imagine that you're also asking that we spend some time with that.
Yes. So let me just finish one thought that we
sure.
kind of touched upon. Like what is the sensations in the body is kind of the background of the emotions, right? And what's behind that?
Mm-hmm.
Sensation and what is causing the sensation? You know, these days we know, you know, it's caused by, you know, biochemical reactions, you know. We
yeah.
have a whole, I think even a movie, a lot of the movie aspects are also reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
Recent movies like What the Bleep
Do
We Know.
Right.
So they reflect how that actually the chemical reactions are happening. But what's causing those chemical reactions?
That's the question.
Right? So I think we have no other words except to say energy, right? Some force that is causing these particles and these reactions to happen. So ultimately, in the outer, we can segregate these emotions and categorize them intellectually. But at the backbone, they're just one energy. Just energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe moving in different patterns. That could be the only segregation, if at all, we can make, probably. Or maybe they occur in different parts of the body. Maybe that's another way of distinguishing them. But just fundamentally, they're all energy.
So basically coming from the same source.
Right, right.
And we do forget that.
Right.
We actually want to forget that, I think. We do. I mean, yeah, because it's hard to tell someone who's in deep pain, either over a lost one or
right.
someone who's in, you know, dire financial straits and has to worry. It's hard to tell them, you know what, this is just energy, dude. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Without that experience, right? That's
right.
I think that's what we, I think fear and worry,
mm-hmm.
We often base our actions on fear. We, you know, say, for example, you know, if we love somebody, it's also, you know, we base our actions on fear. What about the fear of losing that love?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fear of getting fired in a job, for example, or fear of not performing to your own expectations. So we do a lot of actions based on fear. And the same thing we're going to project it to the divine as well. If I don't do the right actions, then the divine is going to punish me.
Yeah. That's a familiar conversation.
Right.
That's going on.
Right. So yeah. It's based on fear. So the same fear that we have, the how we interact in our life, we just project it onto the divine.
Mm.
And it's a good aspect, but I think we shouldn't stop there.
Okay, where do we go?
Right, where do we go? Right, seeing that fear is, what is it, right? Going beyond it. So that's why we need a technique to go from the outer periphery of these emotions to that energy.
Mm-hmm. And is that that Swamiji's teaching?
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, because it gets at the core.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So similarly with worry, when we're caught up with that loop, you know, worry is just like, it's amazing, right? We know we shouldn't be worried about this, right? You know, we know, for example, right? We know we have to sleep at maybe 10 o'clock. But we can get sleep sometimes, right? We just can't sleep. And we get worried over it.
Yeah.
But the fact that we need to rest and sleep itself is causing the worry.
Exactly.
It's such a paradox, right?
It is a paradox. I mean, because, you know, it's really, you're just running in circles with it. The idea that, you know, you get this idea, this thought that says, oh, I can't sleep right now.
Right.
Right? And all of a sudden, then you're worrying that you can't sleep right now, and the clock is ticking.
Right.
And now it's not 10 o'clock, it's 11 o'clock.
Right.
And you're still having the tape play that, you know, I really needed to get to bed at 10.
Right.
I didn't get to bed at 10. Now it's 11. Now it's 12. And now we're worrying about how our day is going to be tomorrow when it's not even here.
Right. So that worry loop, we can't break the worries with another thought, because it's going to add to the worry, right? It's going to just only increase the worries.
Well, you know, the thought of saying, oh, I'm really not worrying.
Exactly.
When every cell in your body
right.
is screaming that, yeah, right, you're really worrying right now. So, and you know, that is why affirmations don't work in
right.
some cases. I'm not saying affirmations don't work. I'm saying that there are ways that they work and ways that they don't work.
Exactly. They have to happen at the deeper level.
They have to happen at the deeper level.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at attention need. We're going to take a look at one of my favorite, comparison and jealousy, and really just open up the phone lines. If you have questions, it'd be great if you want to call in and check in with us. You can do so now, 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or... Oh, that's mine.
Yeah.
1-888-298-5569.
You're doing such a good job. I didn't want to interrupt.
1-888-298-5569. I'm here with, we're here talking about a number of different things. Of course, we're talking about these ancient teachings, the Bhagavad Gita, and we're also talking about the teachings of Paramahamsa Nityananda Swamiji. I'm here with Vinay, and we will be right back to tackle these others that are toughies, boy. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show.
New Spirit Journal. Let the adventure begin. At New Spirit Journal, we want to inform, inspire, uplift, and amuse you. Our readers have in common an interest in life and in the deeper meanings life can offer. We don't claim to have all the answers, but we can start you asking questions. Our writers and advertisers share their techniques, new ideas, and products. Whatever it is, they want to share something they believe will make your life better in some way. Something that might challenge how you think and act today. Something that might make you question something you currently believe or do. You'll find New Spirit Journal at bookstores, cafes, churches, and meeting places the first week of each month. Pick up a copy and let it take your spirit where it will. You can visit us on the web at newspiritjournal.com. That's newspiritjournal.com. Make yourself an adventure today.
Are you tired of doing all the right things and ending up with the wrong love? Are there people in your world that you should but just don't respect? You're not alone. Over the Cliff Productions presents a groundbreaking approach to right relationship. Join Greg Hoskins and Michelle Morgan at East West Bookshop in Seattle on February 18th for a dynamic workshop to learn how to identify, cultivate, and use polarity as a power tool for finding and building extraordinary relationships. For information or to register, call 206-523-3726. That's 206-523-3726. Or visit their website at OverTheCliffProductions.com.
Do you have a question about the changes Mother Earth is experiencing? Pepper Lewis, a natural, intuitive, and gifted channel, can help answer those questions relating to our environment and the world around us. Tune in to the Dr. Pat Show on Thursday, February 16th at 11 a.m. when Pepper Lewis will tell us how we can bring balance, peace, and harmony into our lives. To find out more about Pepper and the service and products she offers, visit thepeacefulplanet.com, thepeacefulplanet.com, or call 530-938-4478. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by.
If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want to take the worry out of it and work with a professional from RE/MAX Champions. After all, RE/MAX sells more real estate than any other. Serving all of Western Washington, RE/MAX Champions alone sold over $100 million this past year. Call Dennis Sikowski at 888-62-DREAM. That's 888-62-DREAM. For a friendly, candid, and professional conversation about your real estate needs.
I'm Dr. Pat Basile, the host of the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. I would like to help you take your empowering message to a community of people looking for products and services that honor the dignity of the human spirit, value all life on earth, and tap into the one true freedom we have, the freedom to choose. Let the Dr. Pat Show be your conduit to a global community of people who could benefit most from your product and service. Join the buzz, be the buzz, and let our success be your success. For more information, call me, Dr. Pat, at 206-523-5522. That's 206-523-5522. Join the Dr. Pat Show, the show that is changing the lives of thousands.
Open your ears, open your heart, open your mind. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. This is the Dr. Pat Show. Beautiful music, beautiful music. I'm here with Vinay, and we're talking about the seven primordial emotions.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to, attention need. I think I know what we're talking about, but I'm not sure I understand how it shows up.
Right. In life, we do most of our love, we love. I would say almost falls into the category of attention need. Like we say, we actually love somebody. It's almost like we strike a business deal, right? I do these things in the relationship, and you do these things in the relationship, and if they don't match,
oops,
I can't love you, right? That's how it kind of boils down to. But it's like, we're scratching each other's back, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So attention need, I think, it's something that it reflects in almost in every action that we do. We may be up on stage, but are we doing it for attention need, or are we doing it for something that is time of the need?
Yeah.
Our need at the time.
Yeah. I know. I totally understand what you're talking about.
Right.
It really is, we're looking at the intention behind the action.
Right. Mm. So that attention need is, we almost associate that with heart, right? Love. And so that attention need has the connotation of love.
Mm-hmm.
We want that love from others. It's almost, we're surviving on that particular aspect, right?
Mm-hmm.
An example, we've all been through breakups in relationships. How does it feel like? We're eating our regular food, we're consuming our, daily needs, but we feel drained for just because of that emotional aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels that we are actually consuming. We are for the proper functioning of our body, we're consuming that energy that is given by others.
That is absolutely true. I mean, that's what, not only is it consuming that energy, but that drain affects our every cells in our body. I mean, we're basically talking about the mismanagement, I'm going to call it, of our emotions, which in fact leads to the degradation of our bodies.
Exactly.
I mean, that's clear.
Right.
Somebody made a joke. Gosh, I wish I could remember. I think there was a question that was asked, why is it that we believe that we're not well, why is it that people, ancient people, thousands of years ago lived longer? I mean, there's of course an intellectual conversation about that around the calendar, but I remember an answer, and the answer it came from someone in the audience who said basically they just didn't worry like we do. And I don't know how true that is, but there are all of the things we're touching on right now, especially the next one. This is something that, you know, you heard Benny and I talk about the Grammys, but this is something that happens a lot in people's lives.
Right.
The comparison and the jealousy aspect of things.
Right. It almost rules our life, right? If the neighbor,
it's awful, right? Actually.
If the neighbor buys a really cool air conditioning system, the temperature in our house goes up for no reason. So it's like if the neighbor buys a car, we got to buy a bigger car. It's exactly like distinguishing what we have, what desires we have bought for free from others, and what is truly innate to us.
Well, I'm actually putting the value of my life, I'm actually putting a value on my life based on how I see my life compared to yours.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
All of the things you do, all of the things you are, all of the money you make,
right.
You know, that's how I get to value my life.
Right.
Which is, you know, another way to set the stage for worry and greed and fear.
Right.
I mean,
all of them are interconnected, right?
They're all interconnected.
Right. They go from one emotion to the other.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, these emotions as localized to certain portions of the body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the attention need and the love is based on the heart.
Mm.
So, essentially, what that energy that is behind it is localized around certain areas of the body. And that's what we call the chakras, or the energy centers of the body. So by actually doing a technique, which is a meditation technique, we can actually unblock these emotions from the root at these energy centers.
And that's what you have in the Life Bliss program,
exactly.
Isn't it? What's the website again? So, because you offer the programs on various weekends.
Yes.
And so there's a schedule. So
right.
How can we direct people to that?
Yes, all of that is on Life Bliss program, seattle.lifeblissprogram.org.
Right. Don't put in the www.
Yes.
Just put in seattle.lifeblissprogram.org, and it will bring you to a page which has schedules and information. Okay. So the thing that I was a little confused about had to do with the connection between the ego, which is next, and jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought they were all one and the same, but I have a feeling that they're not.
Right. I mean, ego is something like, as Swami said in the voice strip we played, it's the complete idea about ourselves. It's the strong idea that I am, right? The reference from What the Bleep Do We Know, like, you know, they've looked everywhere, right? They've looked in different areas of the body. They've looked in the brain. There is no observer, in a way, that is viewing the world. But still, yet, we have that strong sense of I.
Our identity.
Identity. So that's what the perspective of ego is. And we base our, in almost every action that we do, based on what is it in for me, right? We go to a movie, what's in it for me?
Mm-hmm.
We go to a dinner, what's in it for me? Right? That constant identity that is ego is always.
Am I going to like it?
Right.
Am I going to bring myself to that movie that I don't like because I'm negotiating with someone? Are they going to come? I mean, it is. It's this dialogue back and forth. I don't think we're talking about all of these things being wrong. Aren't we talking about an understanding, getting to the root to understand?
Exactly.
It's not a criticism of these emotions.
Right.
It's really a way to look.
It's almost like an overindulgence with these emotions.
Mm-hmm. And there, you know, some of these will affect, you know, people, some people in a certain different ways.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
You know, after we've talked about worry, the ego, we've talked about comparison, you know, the next thing that is mentioned is this idea of discontent.
Right.
I want to just put everything in that bucket, you see.
Right.
But I don't think Swamiji talks about it that way.
It's like what's the emotion that's actually also blocking that area of the body? That connotation is also there.
Mm-hmm.
Discontentment is one of the emotions that is really blocking the crown center, which is the top of the head.
So these are based on the chakras?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also with the observation with how we're interacting, right? So if we're able to perceive that energy, we can clearly see that a person who is based on attention need will most likely, his energy is focused around that area.
Mm-hmm.
It could be either in blocked form or it could be in unblocked form. If it's unblocked, then he'll radiate selfless love. If it's blocked, he'll radiate attention need.
Wow.
So similarly, mm-hmm. in the crown, if the energy is blocked, we radiate discontentment. If the energy is unblocked, we radiate gratitude.
And the idea is to get all of these unblocked.
Right.
Now let's go to the last one. Boy, the time really flies here. Thank you so much. But let's talk about the last one and what chakra that affects.
The discontentment. That's the crown center.
Oh, okay.
That's the crown center. The fundamental aspect that initially we're discontented about something, about a particular aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But then the discontentment almost becomes like a disease, right?
That's my question.
Right.
Right.
It's just, it becomes...
It's like the bottom line.
Right. It's actually just representing the unblocked energy in our system. So to address that is we need a technique, right? That's what we're talking about.
And so folks can find out when the workshops are going to be held?
Yes.
Okay. And so the website's the best place to do this?
Yes,
okay.
That's the best place.
And that website, again, is SeattleLifeBlissProgram.org.
Yeah, Seattle.LifeBlissProgram.
Oh, Seattle.LifeBlissProgram.org.
Yeah.
The next segment we're going to be doing is on the 21st.
Yes, it's the Drop Your Sanskaras, or your engraved memories.
Your engraved memories. So kind of like your stories.
Yes.
We love our stories. Thank you so much, Vinay, for joining the show today.
Oh, this is wonderful.
It's wonderful. Thank you all for listening. Tomorrow in the house, Stephanie Durham is back. Your Sacred Contract. I'm Dr. Pat.
Let's go.
Bye, Benny.
Bye.
All right. See you all tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you for joining us today for the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. The Dr. Pat Show can be heard live Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on KKNW AM 1150 and every Thursday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Pacific on voiceamerica.com. So join Dr. Pat live or listen 24/7 at www.thedrpatshow.com.